This week on It's So Bad, have you ever wanted to play an anime show? No, I mean, like, really, have you ever wanted to play a video game that's an anime? No, like, it's an anime on It's So Bad. This week I'm joined by Chris and Matt, and we're talking about Asura's Wrath, here on It's So Bad.
I'm realizing during that intro, I don't really watch anime.
You don't?
No.
But you have a Master Roshi sweatshirt.
I have watched anime, but I'm not an anime fan, I don't think.
First, I didn't think I was going to get introed, so Michael, hello, because I have nothing to say about this game.
Well, but, we can describe this game, what it is to you, and what we're doing today. We're adding it to our endless list, which is a list of good games, bad games, interesting games, which this game might fall into the interesting game category.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
And we're ranking them based upon their gameplay, their story, their music, how innovative they were, their legacy, everything. And this week we're adding the 2012 release by CyberConnect 2, published by Capcom, Asura's Wrath, the story of, what is it? Wrath? Rage?
Yeah.
It's an interactive... how would you describe this game?
This game is a series of QTE events separated by bad combat and cutscenes.
Agree. It's an interactive anime. Like, straight up, the presentation of it is...
episodic.
Episodic. So you have 12 chapters, I believe, that are in this game? There's
18.
Oh, 18.
18 episodes.
Okay. And they are 20 to 30 minutes long, like legit an episode of an anime. And it's punctuated by we're entering a commercial pit break.
Right.
Flash.
A la Dragon Ball.
Like literally like an anime show.
Yeah.
So, all right. So quick question. Is Asura the protagonist?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. And it's his wrath.
Yes.
Oh, right. That's correct. He's wrathing about something.
He's wrathing about something.
Let's start from the beginning, right?
Yes.
Shall we?
We should.
We start. Chime in for corrections.
Okay.
We're going off the cuff here.
Yes. I have a giant list here of bullet points of the story, so I will correct you where need be.
So it starts with a space battle.
Space battle.
And the Goma?
Goma, yes.
Are the bad guys.
They are the evil spirit of Gaia, which is the world.
Right. And so you and the other seven, the total of you is the eight guardians?
Yes, the guardians.
Or
guardians.
You're all
they're
like
demigods.
Gods or demigods.
Demigods.
Right. You're basically a superhero bunch fighting off the Goma.
Goma, yep.
And...
part of the... you're the guardians of the Shinkoku army.
Right.
Which is supposed to protect Gaia from the Goma, which is the evil spirit of the planet.
From, like, within Gaia.
Yes, within Gaia.
And so you beat him up, and what happens? At some point... oh, so you go back to wherever the city is?
So before that, part of the reason why the guardians are so powerful is because humans worship them, and they provide them with mantra. Mantra is the life force of the demigods and their power source.
And it's their souls. It's the human souls that create
and
mantra.
And their prayers, I believe, as well.
But you don't... do you know that immediately?
I think so.
Okay, yeah. I didn't really figure that out until halfway through the game when they said it two or three more times.
It's very vague and convoluted. In that battle in the space, one of the big things is that they beat the Goma, but Vleetra, which is like the head Goma, erupts from the planet. The giant Vleetra.
Right.
And it looks like the Guardians are going to lose, but Mithra, who is Asura's daughter, powers up Asura.
Right.
And Yasha. Yasha is her uncle.
Yes, your brother.
Yeah, Asura.
Or is it your wife's brother?
Asura, your brother-in-law.
Brother-in-law, right.
So Yasha and Asura take on Vleetra and push it back into the Earth. To save the human race, supposedly. You go back to the city, and the Emperor calls on you, and you're set up framed for the Emperor's death, Asura is. And then you go back home after fighting off some people and having spears put into your back. You go home and you find out that Durga, your wife, was murdered.
Yes.
And Mithra, your daughter, was taken by the other guardians, including Yasha, his brother-in-law.
Right. So this is where the wrath comes in.
He's always been mad. He's like, his thing is that he's mad at everything.
But the wrath, ultimately, like the eponymous wrath is...
Like Mark Ruffalo, he's just always angry.
Is Mithra being taken, right? Yes. And him trying to get Mithra back.
His daughter.
Right.
His daughter. Not so much about his wife.
Well, no, more she's about
his daughter. She's already dead. So, you know, cut your losses.
Right.
Okay. Essentially.
Yes. Gotcha. Yes.
And so he goes to fight the Guardians who have taken Mithra, and then Deus, who's like the leader of the Guardians now, he kills Ashura. Kills him in quotation marks. He sends him to Naraka, which is like the...
It's Buddhist hell.
Yes.
Right?
I guess.
So this game is like Buddhist God of War.
It's Chinese yeah, it's Chinese mythology.
I was going to say, this is actually no snack. This is actually sounding very similar to like God of War to me,
it's
like in a way.
It's pretty similar.
Yeah, except it's not as well, good.
It's conceptually
story.
Similar.
It's story. Right, I mean, the concept of the story.
Yes. And so you go to Naraka, you meet the golden spider who tells you to climb a tower, which is... Because I'm watching...
It's like the tower out of the underworld,
wait,
right?
So now it's the Dark Tower from...
No, it's actually Korin's tower from Dragon Ball, which is exactly similar aesthetically, because I think Dragon Ball pulls a lot from Chinese mythology at the same time, so it's interesting to see the overlap between those and what is like... It's like weird how Japanese people pull Chinese mythology into random things is funny. But yeah, you climb up the tower, and then you have to go, and is where the real game starts, is when you start to get your revenge on the seven different demigods who have betrayed you.
Yes. And so the eight guardian generals become the seven deities after they kill you.
Yes. And it actually fast forwards 10,000 years into the future.
There's a lot of that.
Yeah.
Like, it's very hard to keep track of.
Yeah.
Like, there's always thousands of years jumps forward and back.
Yes.
Of... the different episodes or cutscenes you're seeing.
Yeah, and so you get these cutscenes and while the story is playing out, and then you'll have like these open battle arenas that kind of remind me of Bayonetta or like a character action game, but are bad.
Right. I didn't... If you recall from the Bayonetta podcast, I was not a huge fan of the combat in Bayonetta, but playing this was eye-opening. It's worse.
Yes.
Way worse.
Like, yes.
Significantly worse.
So you go to hunt down these Guardian Generals, and then you, like, there's some cool shit that does happen in this game. Like, we were just watching the trailer, and the first Guardian that you fight, his name is Wizen, and he's this giant fat guy, and he eventually will turn so big he is bigger than the Earth, and he punches his finger down to stomp you out, but you use your rage and your wrath to instantly destroy the giant finger. And we're talking about giant. He's like can hold the Earth in his hand so big, and this little guy incinerates him instantly with his rage.
Yeah, so, like I was saying, like,
it's a very cool-looking game.
The finger seemed to get a lot smaller as soon as it entered Earth's atmosphere.
Listen, if you want to enjoy this game more greatly, I would use some performance-enhancing drugs in order to enjoy this game better, because it is wild. It gets batshit fucking crazy. There's that one point where you're fighting your mentor on the moon, and he uses his sword to send you back to Earth. It extends as long to send you back to Earth. And then he tears off your arms, and you use his broken sword to slice him in two.
But doesn't he...
That happens.
He stabs you through the moon, right? Doesn't he?
Oh, maybe. Yeah, that's maybe
like
how you get to the
moon.
His
sword gets so long, it goes through... either the Earth or the moon.
Yeah, he pushes you back to the Earth with the sword.
Right, okay.
I remember that.
Yeah,
there's like, and that's like just like we're at the surface level. There's a part where that same mentor you awaken after fighting one of the Guardians in a hot spring where are anime girls with anime titties flapping in your face. And if you stare at them long enough, you get an achievement.
Well, yeah, I mean, if I ever play this, I'll sniff some white out first and hope for the best.
There's a lot happening. There's, like, space battles. For some reason, they have a space force.
Did you go into the future?
The Shinkoku army. Sort of, but I don't. It's not really Earth. This game's very strange.
Well, it's Gaia.
It's Gaia.
Let's be clear. Yeah, and so throughout all those cutscenes, there are random times where you'll get a QTE button prompt to move joysticks in certain directions, mash on the circle button, pull triggers.
I'll say, so the cool part of it is, so I don't like QTEs a lot of the time.
I generally do, but okay. Go on.
I thought some of these QTEs added to the immersion of this game in that some of the times when you're like powering up or fighting something off, they make you tap so hard that you feel like you're like, I'm powering up. So it adds to the immersion. At least it did for me. I don't know.
Well, I think it also just keeps you engaged during these pretty long, not Metal Gear Solid 4 long, but
they're
long enough that
the good thing is that keeping
button prompts keeps you paying attention and engaged.
And I'll say the good thing is that these episodes like move. They don't feel like they're slow.
There's not much dialogue. Right.
Even when they do get into dialogue, when you fight the bosses, each of the bosses, they have an initial dialogue spiel that they go through that's like, here's why I betrayed you, and they go on forever, but there's a button you can hit to punch them. And then they get an achievement if you make them shut up. So you can cut off their dialogue completely. One of them, too, they like fake you out. So like the first two, you can do it. And then the third one, you go to punch him, and he's a hologram, and you're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
And that's Calro. And you find out when you fight Calro that maybe these deities had something more in mind, because they were what you find out is that the deities, the people who betrayed you, are now want to bring about the great rebirth, which is the complete destruction of the Goma and Vlitra, the bad guys.
Right.
The bad guys. And how they're doing that is by murdering a lot of humans, the people they're supposed to protect, to power their weapon to destroy the evil that's in
there. I looked it up just to know. So at some point in like the three quarters or at the end of the game, they say like, how many have we killed? And they say like 1 trillion humans. And I looked it up, and over the course of human history, the estimates of every person that has ever lived is like 180 billion. So just content, like just... Just to think about that.
We're talking about also there's a time skip of 10,000 years at one point. So
I think this is in the future.
So what year is it when you have the 10,000 year skip?
We don't have, again, this is not Earth.
There's no like, they say 10,000 years just so that they can talk about something completely different where, you know, there's no sense of time at all in this game.
Yeah. So over the course of this game, also Ashura dies like 3 times, I think.
Yes.
And he goes to Naraka, and he has to climb up the tower where the Golden Spire is. And he loses his arms, like, constantly.
So, can we talk about that for a minute? So, Asura, he's got, like, 6 arms when he rages out.
Yes.
But is it all 6 of them are, like, robot arms?
So, that brings up a good question. Is Asura a robot? Are the deities robots?
I have that question.
Yeah, that's what I want to know.
You don't have the answer?
No.
Because he like gets them ripped off. Like, they never explain why he has robot arms.
Right. I'm pretty sure they're all robots. And this is like way far in the future.
It's never clear why they grow back. Wait. You're talking like it's Nier Automata. Like, that's...
Well,
this is like Bizarro Nier Automata.
Yes.
Wow. It makes this game worse.
Because I was going to like kind of ask that question to you guys, like having... I've been talking about
this game's you guys wild. It's quite just
a bit.
Wild.
Like, I just finished playing Nier Automata. I loved it. And it was like, okay, like, this is like a world, a very fleshed out, thought through world and mythology and lore. Is this game as polished as something like Nier Automata?
No. Even the ideas in the game are not as thought out very well.
No.
So this game was made by CyberConnect 2. They've done a whole bunch of... anime games, so like Naruto Ultimate Ninja, and they just put out Dragon Ball Z Kakarot, for example.
Oh, I didn't know they made that.
Yeah, so they've made JoJo Bizarre Adventures games and all these other games. The CEO has said has been quoted as saying, in Japanese entertainment and comics and in games as well, there are many interesting depictions of wrath already, like things like Dragon Ball, Naruto, and we love these kinds of comics and games, so we thought, what can we do if we really, really focus on that? How interesting can we make it? That was our challenge to ourselves. And so they made their own anime property, and they just were like, what would we do if we made an anime?
Do you think they pitched it as a TV show and then it wasn't Like, where do you think the TV sort of like element to it came from? Because like they'll always, like you say, or you might have said already, like they do the to be continued.
Oh yeah, they do the with, also like, a freeze they do frame at the end of the episode,
and then like there's just a loading screen, and then they continue from straight there.
And like, then after every four episodes, you get credits.
Yes.
Too.
Yes.
Like a season ending.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So is there like other media like around this game?
No, I don't think so.
As far as I know, there's a Street Fighter V Ryu skin. It's either Ryu or Akuma Asura skin.
Yeah.
That's the only other...
No, like manga or anything like,
I've,
like
that. I don't know.
No, isn't there a guy with many arms that has the skin from Street Fighter V?
The guy with many
arms. The four arms. There's a similar looking guy. That's the Asura skin.
Four arms in Street Fighter V.
Yeah.
I'm trying to
think. I've never played the game,
I thought it was a... you can look this up while I think about it out loud. But four arms. Man, I'm really struggling. Street Fighter.
Goro is in Street Fighter? Yeah.
Kage. Cage. Cage.
Cage?
Yes.
Oh, that's a DLC. So that's after I stopped playing Street Fighter.
Yeah, he looks exactly like Asura, by the way. Yeah, I don't know if it's Kage or Cage. But
I think it's Kage.
It's probably Kage because it's a Japanese game. Yeah.
So I think the answer to your question is no. There's, as far as I know, there's no other media.
I enjoyed this game. I didn't like the gameplay, but I thought the story was fucking great. So just me, I thought it was a great revenge tale. Eventually you like go super psycho and get like super rage induced, and you suspiciously look like a Gomo when that happens. And it's implied, I don't think you ever really find this out, but you eventually do get your daughter back, spoilers, and you eventually do kill all the different guardians except for one, which is Olga, and she dies in the DLC. Oh, and they have the true ending in the DLC, which is also shitty on this game.
I didn't bother to play it.
Yeah.
Well, there was also, what was the thing where you had to get certain S, so after each episode they give you like a A, B, C, D, S...
Right.
Ranking.
Yeah.
And so there was another hidden episode that you had to get.
Did you do that? Did not do that? I got S's on every chapter.
Oh, well, so.
It was super easy to get S's.
Multiple times throughout a chapter, I was like, all right, I'm doing all these QTEs. How much of them matter? And it turns out you can pretty much not do any of the QTEs and nothing changes.
Except for you can't get the final chapter because you need 8 out of the 12 chapters in order to get.
And that really sucked to find out. Like, I like QTEs, but I like QTEs where there's like a perfect execution result, a failure result, and a you succeeded but not perfectly. Mm-hmm. You know, like where it kind of branches with different animations. Mm-hmm. And I think like God of War might do that. I don't know. I feel like other games you can fail and like the animation sort of changes of the result.
Right.
And I believe the only ones that you could fail in these were the mashing ones where you had a like on your your charging like meter, you had a, like it was like a tug of war type thing. But the fact that you could just not do all these QTEs or most of them was a real bummer.
Right.
So getting back to the true ending thing, how much did the DLC cost?
I don't remember. I didn't play through it either, but I just watched the video of the movie.
So when I installed your copy on my PS3, it like just unlocked all the DLC. So maybe you didn't have to pay for it?
Oh, I didn't even... But it didn't show up on mine when I...
Oh, it didn't?
No.
Oh,
that's strange. Weird. I mean, as a concept, that sounds...
Yeah, it sounds shitty. So if you... I don't remember what the normal ending is, but if you have the DLC, you find out that the Golden Spider is actually the person who caused all of this to happen and created the Goma.
It's kind of... You can kind of put that together. Yeah. He's a little... He's... Yeah. It's like a Disney character that's like giving you advice and turns out to be the bad guy.
Yeah, and he's Chakravatran, I believe is his name. Is he's like the many-hand god who kind of looks exactly like Buddha. So he's like the ultimate god, and you have to in the end you sacrifice yourself so Mithra can live, and you kill him. You kill God, the god. That's like the real ending. But there's like four chapters of that DLC.
And so similar to, again to Nier, there are like different sort of genre changes that can happen. There's like, you know, flying sections where they're not super great. But basically you're controlling like a reticle on the screen.
All of the gameplay is not super great.
Right.
Right.
But in fact, like, it's like bad.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say it's decidedly mediocre. I wouldn't say it's bad because it's not like... I never got frustrated playing this game.
I guess it's true. It was functional.
Yes.
There are also like runner type sections where similar to Bayonetta, right, where you're just like moving constantly and like jumping over things.
Yeah, but those are pretty easy. There's not... They were pretty unforgiving.
And you change to control Yasha at some point, like right, 2/3 through the game. And yeah, I thought, for whatever reason...
That's after he kills like the... puts the rage version of him into a coma.
Right.
And then he takes over and he like starts to realize that what he's doing is wrong and he shouldn't be mass killing people. And he finds out that also maybe this is actually an allegory for climate change. And like the other game that we're going to talk about next, it's, you know, maybe the Goma are really just coming because, the deities are using,
the farming souls,
right, and the earth is trying to fight back from that, which they don't realize is a circular conflict that will never end. But yeah, I mean, the ending is wild, too. There's, like, this giant Buddha-looking space weapon fortress called the Karma Fortress that that Deus holds and up in.
Brahmatra
Brahmantra, yeah,
Brahmatra. Yeah, that's, like, the ultimate weapon that Deus turns into, right?
Yes, at the end of the game that you have to fight. It's, like, wild. This shit gets out there.
It's weird, like, I keep thinking of Bayonetta and, you know, like, one beef I had with Bayonetta was that I thought the like enemy design and all that was wacky but not great. And I don't think this is great either, but I think it was better. Like No way,
because like the random enemies, there was like one of them. And there's then there was like Goma were like the animals. Also the bad guys were animals, which was kind of telling that maybe these guys aren't really the bad guys. Because it was just nature fighting back at you, like giant elephants and gorillas.
I never thought about that. Yeah, all the enemies were monkeys or gorillas.
Well, and elephants. And
there was all of like the ads sort of like.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I liked it more, though, than the enemy design of Bayonetta.
I don't know. If you like took if you like had a picture of them and you zoomed in.
You could not tell the difference. They're very close. Is that what you were about to say?
No. I was going to say the detail on Bayonetta's bad guys is much better.
There's more detail, but I don't know if that's better. I don't know. Whatever. It's subjective, I guess. But.
I mean, never having played this game, this sounds like one of the more batshit crazy games I've ever
heard. Yes.
Yeah.
I would say just the story is wild. I mean, it's like when they say that you're going to feel this is a game about rage. Rage is all over this game. It's just so it's fun. It's interesting.
They're not interested in playing it, but sounds wild.
It kind of reminds me of like what the next evolution of a 90s FMV game would be.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like. Like that's like
I think they should have just gone for it and not included any gameplay and just made the QTEs more complex.
I don't know. There were some boss fights, or not some. I think the August boss fight where it actually turns into. You ever play the game Fury?
No. Oh, F-U-R-I.
Yeah.
No.
Where it's like almost like a bullet hell.
Right. Yeah.
But it's like you have to go and slash the guy. Mm-hmm. Yasha fights and also the August fight on the moon were cool in that way, but the rest of them were not like.
They were cool, but your control of Asura and like the combat options you had,
it's like heavy and light. Yeah, that's it.
And it didn't feel good. It never felt anything close to like God of War or Bayonetta.
Right. I still thought the story slapped. I don't know. Thought it was good.
Thought it slapped.
So we get into our rankings.
One last thing.
Yes.
This is like the most poorly implemented, like technically implemented game I think I've ever played.
Why?
the amount of like frame rate drops,
really,
and screen tearing, and just like the audio mix was all over the place.
I didn't notice that.
You didn't encounter.
You played it on PS3.
It's only on PS3.
Oh, okay.
It like.
Or the Xbox 360.
So you know screen tearing where like it can't keep up.
Yep. Yeah.
It was like every cutscene.
Huh.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
Certain things would happen where the whole frame rate of the game would get into like tens, you know, the teens.
I never thought about that.
It's once you notice it, it's like you can't play 5 minutes without noticing it again. And I Googled it to confirm it wasn't my PlayStation. Like, it's absurd that it was released in this quality.
What style PlayStation 3 do you have?
The
backwards compatible one or the...
No, the newer one.
The newer one.
The Slim?
But not a... Wasn't there a third?
Yeah, there was one that was in between the original...
This is not a Slim. It's just a regular rounded top PS3, okay. But it's not the backwards compatible original.
My Slim, I don't think I came ran into any frame rate, but I believe you. I don't,
yeah,
I don't
have any reason not bad. To.
Okay, where does this go on our ranking? So we have our endless list. It goes from 1 to 70. Number 1 is Super Mario 64. Number 70 is Jurassic Park Trespasser. Last week, we added Toe Jam and Earl, which came in at number 37. I believe this game is going to go behind
just a little bit.
I think this game's worse than Pilot Wings.
Oh, yeah. Cool. I mean, I think we go back even further. I think this game is...
I just have to clear that up, you know. Gotta like, get my wins while I can.
I'm trying to like think of a good comparison, and I can't. Like Night Trap is not even a good comparison because this game is just really far out there. And like I look at Eternal Darkness as a game that
I think that's a good comparison.
Like I enjoyed my experience with Asher's Wrath more than I did Eternal Darkness.
Hmm.
But I could take your thoughts. I could also see this game going below Godzilla Save the Earth, though, because I think that game is...
Right.
Hell yeah.
So 54 is Pokemon Snap, and I think this game is better than Pokemon Snap.
Yes, I'm on board with you there. Where does it go within these next couple is my thing.
Right. So yeah, 54 Pokemon Snap, we say it's better. 53 Godzilla Save the Earth. 52 Eternal Darkness, 51 Super Hang On.
Right.
I didn't hear anything that makes it sound like it's better than Godzilla.
I'd say it's like if you want to compare stories, then it's way better than Godzilla.
Well, yeah.
I would also say that Godzilla's has like the clunky ass gameplay that makes it less enjoyable. Sorry, Chris.
Yeah. Right. So the good parts of Asura's Wrath are better.
Right.
And the bad parts, honestly, are kind of as good as Godzilla.
Right.
So does that not
that makes
make
it, go
it
higher.
Better than yeah, Godzilla?
Right. I would say, like, I don't know about Eternal Darkness is where I might get held
I think Eternal Darkness is better.
Yeah.
Like, the combat, I honestly might like the combat of Eternal Darkness more.
Thinking think about it, maybe, yeah.
I think the combat of Eternal Darkness is the worst part of the game.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. And I think
the story's more interesting.
Interesting.
It's not necessarily... Well...
It's got a story.
It's got a story.
That's good, I would say. I would say that kind of the thing that holds up Asura is the story. The rest of it is just whatever.
Yeah. And I think, like, the... character switching in Eternal Darkness was pretty novel.
Right.
Or it felt novel to me.
Yeah.
And, like, there were different mechanics you were using throughout. Like, this game is pretty mechanically bare.
I'd also say that Eternal Darkness came out 10 years before this game, too.
So. Oof. I think that's the nail.
Yeah. Let's put it as our new number 53 again. Asura's Wrath. As our new number, are we good there?
Yeah, I don't regret playing this game, but I don't know if I would... If I recommended it to someone, I would say play until you get through the finger poke. And then from that point on, it like, you know, only keep doing it if you like it.
Yeah.
Like, there's no payoff at the end. It's not like there's some sick ending scene that's really...
I was just waiting for him to be like, okay, I'm not wrath, not rage filled anymore. But right. Even when he won, he was like, oh, I'm just like, I want to find the next person to kill.
His baseline rage was a little too high.
Yeah. So even with his wife, he was like, he comes home and he's like, oh, yeah. Just fought a battle. So yeah, let's do our new number 53 is Ashura's Wrath here on the podcast. You can find the complete ranking in the podcast description. It's linked there. It's also up on our Medium page. You can follow us on Twitter at It's So Bad Pod. Email us itssobadpod@gmail.com for all your recommendations, how much you hate our list, etc. If you have any random thoughts about swimwear or cats, we also accept those emails at the same time. So itssobadpod@gmail.com is there. And yes, we will be back next week with another very special episode here on It's So Bad. Thanks, Matt, and thanks, Chris, for joining us.